Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this premier service of the Anchor Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Sunday afternoon, the 11th day of April, 2021. We had a great morning service, and we praise the Lord for that. We also are excited this afternoon to have the young people, the junior age young people, as well as the youth group, meeting in our two different offices. And what a great blessing to be able to minister to the next generation. And so we're thankful for that. Let me just remind you parents that as soon as this premiere is over, if you'd make your way back to the church to pick up your children, and of course the teenagers will be on the 7768 side, and the young people will be on the 7770 side. What a blessing these last several Sunday afternoons to be able to come to you from God's Word on a very important topic, and that is building a strong marriage. And we, of course, know that we must build the foundation of the marriage, must be built, and the home must be built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, Psalm 127:1. And then we said that there are several fundamentals that we need, fundamental qualities that we need within our marriage that we build on the foundation. And you remember what those four fundamentals are. They are love, they are loyalty, they are respect, and faithfulness. And we looked at all four of those in the last several weeks, and we praise the Lord for it. All right, we're going to take our Bibles now and turn to Isaiah chapter number 1. We're going to begin there. We'll be looking at several verses of Scripture, but Isaiah chapter number 1, and we're going to read verses 18 and 19. And this afternoon, I'd like to bring you a challenge on if there is a marriage problem, or should I say it this way, when there is a marriage problem, there is a solution. Maybe right now you say, Pastor Turner, marriage is going well for our family, for my wife and I, my husband and I, but we all know that marriages go through seasons, challenging times, wonderful times. By the way, challenging times don't mean necessarily unproductive and helpful times. Many times the challenging times are what strengthen us, and so we praise the Lord for each and every time and period of our home and married life, but let's be honest, we know that there are some problems that do come into the marriage. Various things cause marriage difficulties. And yet, I believe, according to God's Word, that there is a solution. And I'd like to give us kind of a step-by-step solution to dealing with, overcoming, navigating through, if you will, all of the above, our marriage problems whenever they do arise. And so I hope that you will have your Bible out and a notebook maybe to take some notes. And I hope, number one, that you will pray that God will speak to your heart. Whether you're part of Anchor Baptist Church or maybe you're visiting this afternoon, you came across this premier video on Facebook or YouTube or wherever you're watching it from, it is our goal that God's Word be honored and glorified. It is our goal that God's Word, we would use it to build our lives on, and we know that it won't return void. And so we're praying that way. Let's pray together, all right? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity now to open your Word. Holy Spirit of God, please do a great work. There's no way that I can help anyone in my own strength. And we yield this meeting to you. We yield this time to you. I pray, Lord, that we would block out any of the other distractions that could come in the way. And I pray most importantly for every married couple that's listening to this on this Sunday afternoon or will listen to this later in the week, Lord, that we would sincerely desire to be prepared for when challenges come, when trouble comes, and that we wouldn't attack it in the way that we maybe have in the past, that we would think biblically, respond biblically, and maybe consider these principles from your Word. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're in Isaiah chapter number 1, and I'm going to read verses 18 and 19. The prophet Isaiah writes, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Notice verse 9. Starts with the word if. All right? If my people, which are called by my name, if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. So there is something that we have to do in order for the if to take place, in order for what's following it, right? If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now we know that this is not necessarily a marriage scripture passage. This is not written necessarily to our marriages. This is written from the prophet Isaiah to the nation of Israel, nation of Judah, if you will. And the principle, the application, though, can be made in considering our marriages this afternoon. And notice it says there, come now, let us reason together. Let's work together. You say, well, I know I have problems in my marriage today because my wife, as the husband saying that. And I know I have problems in my marriage today because of my husband, the wife would say. And that's not the way to attack a marriage. That's not the way to build a marriage and attack a marriage. I said that wrong. To attack a problem. No, the solution is not your spouse getting right first. In fact, we're going to talk about that as we get right into this. Okay, so first off and foremost, at the point of introduction, if you're having a marriage problem right now, I want you to erase that thought from your mind. It's not if my spouse will deal with her problem, or if my husband, will deal with his problem, then our marriage would improve. No, please don't do that. And I want to challenge you with this thought. It's very difficult to help someone who does not want to be helped. This is why I'm coming to you like the prophet Isaiah came to the nation of Israel here. Come now, let us reason together. Let's talk about this. There might be some problems. There might be some sin in your marriage. But I love what he says. They shall be as white as snow. They shall be as wool. There is a solution. Just as there's a sin solution today, if you're not saved and on your way to heaven, that means that you are responsible and you are going to have to pay the penalty for your sin unless you come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. There is a solution. You can be saved today. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, you or I. No, but it's according to his mercy he saved us. And so I want to challenge you. Yes, we're talking about marriage, but oh, far greater than your marriage is your eternal soul. Where will you spend eternity someday? Do you know where you'll spend eternity someday? If that's not been settled, stop right now and get it settled. Repent of your sin. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, and you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I trust that you're listening and you honestly either you have trouble right now in your marriage, or you want to just learn more from God's word so that trouble can, when it comes, it can go as quickly as it came. Isn't that something though? That's how things come into our life. They come in unexpectedly. Sometimes they come in quickly. Many times, most of the time, they come in unannounced. It's just boom, there they are. And how can we take the problems and the challenges that come into our marriages, and how can we escort them right out the back door? All right, let's look at these. Number one, let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Number one, if you're writing these down, I hope you're going to write these down and meditate on them and think about them. Number one is examine yourself. Examine yourself. Again, like I said in the introduction, it's not a matter of pointing to your spouse. It's a matter of looking in the mirror of the Word of God and examining yourself. Psalm 139, verse 23, the psalmist says, "Search me, O God." He doesn't say, "Search my neighbor." He doesn't say, "Search my the pastor." He doesn't say, "Search my spouse." He says, "Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, it would do all of us some good is if this week is if we said, oh, okay, God, what is it about my marriage? What is it about my part in the marriage that needs to change? In what way do I need to change? In other words, I wish I could change my spouse. No, that's the wrong attitude. God, I need you to help me change me. I need you to search me, oh God. I need you to convict me, oh God. I need you to help me know where I've gone wayward. I need to know, God, where have I fallen short in my duties, but in a sense, not necessarily in that attitude, but yes, the function, if you will, as a husband and the function as a wife, and we've been talking about these. If you missed the first three lessons, this is lesson number four on building a strong marriage. They're on our social media platforms. They're on our Vimeo page, our website, I think can direct you to them. I hope you'll listen to them, not because it's me and I have the best marriage, no, but because we're giving you biblical principles and giving biblical principles to follow. So examine yourself. When we examine ourselves, we must be willing to admit failures. You know, one of the greatest things you can learn to do and get in the habit of is be willing to say you're sorry. When you examine yourself and you recognize, I should not have said that. I should not have done that. I should have said it with a little bit different tone. Hello. I'm working on that still in my own life after being married now since 1994. That's 27 years this coming July. And I've got to examine myself. Amen? You've got to examine yourself. And we must be willing to admit we can't be the husband that my wife needs me to be in my own power. See, when I examine myself, I should come to a point in my examination where I say, there's no hope for you, Ben. When you examine yourself, sir, you should come to the point where you realize, man, here I am. I've had the same problem. I've had the same challenge. I've had the same inability. I've fallen short so many times in this area. My wife has asked me to do this. My husband's asked me to do this. And it seems like it keeps coming up over and over again. The greatest place you can come this afternoon in your marriage is to realize and come to yourself as you examine yourself, as you give yourself your own diagnosis, is that you're at the end of the diagnosis, you say to yourself, there's no hope. And there's hope, but I mean there's no hope in our own strength. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. If you haven't committed this verse to memory yet, I hope you will commit it to memory. Examine yourself. And we must come to this realization that in our marriage, we have failed. We have fallen short. We do have areas that need to change. And here's the best place to come to. I can't do anything about it in my own strength. I can't do anything about it in my own planning. Oh, but what does the Apostle Paul write to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4:13? You're there. Would you read it together with me? Would you quote it together with me? Ready? Philippians 4:13. Ready? Begin. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's do it again. Ready? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That means I can be the husband God wants me to be through Christ. That means I can be the wife God wants me to be. Well, at least you ladies can be the wife God wants you to be through Christ who strengthens us to be the husband, to be the wife, to be the parent, to be the brother in Christ, to be the church member, to be the Christian. Oh, folks, today, whether you're married or not, this is important. This is something we could all do. Examine ourselves on a regular basis. And when we come to the end of the examination, we realize, my soul, I have no hope. There's no way I'm going to be able to walk the walk and talk the talk. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's exactly right. You can have a marriage that's strong through Christ, which strengthens you. You can have a marriage that overcomes challenges through Christ, which strengthens you. So number one is examine yourself. Number two, 1 John chapter 1, if you have your Bible there, open still, let's turn it to 1 John chapter 1. If you're writing these down, examine yourself. Examine yourself. 1 John chapter 1, very common verses that we use over and over again. Number two, marriage problems. There is a solution. Number one, examine yourself. Number two, confess any sins. Confess any sins. What does it mean to confess sin? Let's see what the Bible says, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, confess sin means to agree with God. Do we realize how wicked sin is? Do we see it as God sees it? And I would submit to you that we need to ask God, help us to see our sin in the marriage and in our walk with you, and the sin in my life, the sin in my home, the sin in my, whatever, wherever it's at. Just confess it, forsake it, agree with God about it, that the shouting matches aren't good, and the unkind words aren't good, and the unforgiveness isn't good. There's nothing good about it. And in fact, we agree with God about it, and we say, well, it's not that bad. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Again, we don't want to get into the blame game in our marriages. Satan is an expert at helping you and helping me to blame our spouse. That's not going to accomplish anything. Confess your sin. Psalm 32 and verse number 5. Psalm 32 and verse number 5. Let's see here. I'm getting there. Are you there? You're there? Say amen. That means you beat me there. Good job. Psalm 32, verse number 5, where God's word says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. Hey, this is where we start. There's a problem in the marriage. You're part of the problem. You can be part of the solution too. This is part of the solution. Examine yourself and then acknowledge your sin, confess your sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. Okay? It's time we stop hiding things. It's time we stop concealing things. And again, this could be a very serious time to consider this question. Is there a sin in the corner of your life that needs to be confessed? Is there a sin in the closet of your life that you have hid in there and your spouse doesn't know about it? It's time to open up the closet door. It's time to go in there and get that stinky, slimy, smelly, wicked sin out of the closet. And we need to confess it, agree with God about it for what it really is. We need to acknowledge it for what it is. And we need to stop hiding it. And we need to call it what it is. Sin, evil, wrong, nothing good about it. We need to go to our spouse and we need to be honest. Now again, that can be very serious. All sin is serious to deal with. But if you've been hiding something for a period of time, you're going to have to take that thing to the Lord first and foremost, and you're going to have to ask God for the grace to be able to bring that to your spouse. But don't delay any longer. The longer that you put it off, the more the trouble becomes. And it's kind of like, do you remember maybe watching a cartoon, or that's all I can really think of, where, you know, at the top of it, it's a big hill and it's full of snow. It's wintertime. And at the top of the hill, you know, the guy falls down and he starts rolling and picking up snow. And then the snowball gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it gets to the bottom and it hits a rock and boom, everything goes everywhere. Have you ever seen anything like that on a cartoon? I have. You know what happens when that snowball, it starts, the little ball of snow with a guy in there or a gal in there or whatever, some kids in there. Again, it's a cartoon, but avalanches do happen, you know. Probably not exactly quite like the cartoon depicts it. But you know what it does is that snowball's going down the hill. Not only is it getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know what it's doing? It's picking up everything in its path. It's kind of like sin that isn't confessed. Starts out at the top of the hill and it's kind of small. But it just keeps rolling down the hill, rolling, rolling, and bigger and bigger and bigger, and it takes up everything, picks up everything in its path, and then boom, it hits a rock. And everything is scattered, and everything is shattered. Well, that's what happens sometimes in homes, homes that you know of and I know of, and I would never be unkind to talk about anyone by name or anything like that, and that's not the point of this. The point of this, though, is Satan is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour your marriage, and he wants to devour my marriage, and he wants to devour our homes, and he wants to devour the Anchor Baptist Church, and he just wants to cause destruction. He wants to take everything that's small and let it roll up and roll up and roll up and be massive and cause utter destruction. You know today, what you've been hiding, if there's something you've been hiding. And maybe there isn't anything like that in your life. I'm not trying to be, again, nosy. I'm just trying to say, I have heard over and over and over and over again things like this happening. Folks, it's time that we as the spouse, whether we're the husband or we're the wife, it is time that we confess our sin to God and we acknowledge the sin. We stop hiding it. We call it what it is and we seek forgiveness. Now praise God for 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Praise God. He will forgive us. And by the way, might I add in here, we're going to actually come to that in just a minute, so about forgiveness. Let's move on to 3. All right? So, 1, examine yourself. 2, confess any sins to God. 3, let's go to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Thank you for being a part of this. 1 John chapter 5. Thank you for wanting to have a godly marriage. Thank you for putting in the effort, sir. Thank you for putting in the effort, ma'am. Let me tell you, a marriage is not made on the wedding day. Praise God for the wedding day. That's not where a marriage is made. No, marriage takes work. It's worth it. Marriage takes patience. It's worth it. Marriage takes forgiveness. Talk about that in a minute. Marriage takes studying of one another. Learning about your husband, learning about your wife takes effort, but it's worth it. 3, seek God's help in removing any offensive traits. You say, I don't have any offensive traits. Well, let's talk to your spouse about that. We won't, but I don't think you or I are the ones to determine whether or not we have an offensive trait or not. Okay? Look what it says in 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. Who is Him? Well, it's in the Lord Jesus. Verse 13 talks about the Son of God. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. And again, here's another great verse of Scripture that tells us we can know that we have eternal life. Do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know that heaven is your eternal home or not? Great verse right here, 1 John 5:13. So in the context of that, we know that our confidence is not in ourselves. We know our confidence is not in our spouse. It's not in our children. It's not in the preacher. It's not in the brother or sister in Christ. It says that this is the confidence that we have in Him. We have in the Lord. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Basically, what this is your marriage. 3, seek God's help in removing offensive traits. And really, in parentheses, it's pray for your marriage. Pray for your marriage. I want to ask you something. Is your marriage on your prayer list? Do you pray every day for your wife? Do you pray every day? Oh yeah, I pray for her. Dear God, please help my wife to do it better, do a better job. No, come on now. Do you lovingly pray for your wife? You pray that she would ultimately have all of her needs met by God. Because whether you're the husband or the wife, the first place we find our security, the first place that we find our love, the first place that we find our needs being met, it can't be our husband, can't be our wife. It must be the Lord. Is your wife, is your marriage on your prayer list? Is your role in the marriage on your, are you praying for yourself? You say, yeah, I'm an old man. I haven't been praying for myself within the marriage. It's time to start doing it. It's time to seek God's help in removing the offensive traits. It's time to seek God's help in knowing when to speak and when to listen and not speak. It's time to seek God's help into knowing when to go up and just wrap your arms around your wife and give her a big smooch on the lips and say, I love you. You're the most beautiful creature God's ever created. We are all creatures, by the way, so hopefully that didn't sound wrong. But and you're the most beautiful creature of God. I am so glad you're my wife. Thank you for saying I do. You know what? There's times when that's needed. There's times maybe when it's not needed. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know what wife wouldn't want. I'm sure there's times when wives, you wouldn't want your husband coming and wrapping his arms around you. I don't know. But we want to ask the Lord, God, please, today I want to be filled with your Spirit so that I can be the mate that my mate needs me to be for your honor and glory. The Bible says if we that if we ask anything according to his will. Okay, according to his will. Do you think God wants you to be a better husband, a better wife? Yes. You think God wants you to be honoring to him in the marriage? Of course. So let's ask for it. Ask for those offensive traits to be removed and ask for God to help you to have wisdom to be the husband and to be the wife and to be the helpmeet and to be submissive and to be submission one to another and to love her even when maybe she hasn't been acting too lovely. I know, ladies, it's possible that you might be, there might be a moment in a week, maybe just a little moment where you do something that's not too lovely. I'm being a little facetious there. And oh, I'm sure, men, I'm sure there's many a times where we have stepped out of line and we don't deserve our wife to come up and put her hand in ours and give us a kiss on the cheek or on the jaw, as they say on Andy Griffith, and smack Dad right on the lips and tell us how handsome we are and how strong we are. Because we haven't been acting as if we deserve that, but a wife brings and does that, and a husband loves her regardless. Who else can help you overcome those offensive traits in your marriage? Dr. Phil can't. Oprah for sure can't. Dr. Oz can't. But God's Word can. The Holy Spirit can. You are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And you can seek his help every day, and I hope that we are. Who knows me? Who knows me like the Lord? No one else knows me like the Lord. Turn over to Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter number 11. Mark 11 and verse 24. Mark 11, 24. God's Word says, one more page. God's Word says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Is your marriage on your prayer list? I sure hope it is. So, we've got to examine ourselves. We've got to confess and forsake any known sin in our life. We've got to seek God's help in removing any offensive trait. Number four, we need to forgive silently and apologize loudly. Forgive silently and apologize loudly. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32 is a verse that we use time and time and time again in relation to forgiveness, where the Word of God says, and be ye kind one toward another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You know, tender-hearted. Yeah, I forgive you. Boy, that's not too tender-hearted, isn't it? No, it's not. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You notice I said, forgive silently, apologize loudly. You know, the opposite of that is how it is many times in our life, where we forgive loudly. In other words, we keep talking about it over and over and over again. By forgiving silently, I mean forgive and then move on. By the way, I know this to be true, and I know this. I know you would agree with me on this, but one of the primary purposes of marriage is to teach us the grace of forgiveness. You see, I don't know that you're that close to anyone ever in your life until you're married. I mean, your siblings you grow up with, and you'll roll around in the dirt, and you fight and punch and all that kind of stuff, but it's a bit different when you get into that marriage life, because remember, two become one. One plus one equals one. And I believe that the marriage life, again, the married life is beautiful. It was created by God. But I also believe it's an opportunity for us to learn how to extend the grace of forgiveness. Why? For Christ's sake. Never lose sight of that principle in forgiveness, that God did not forgive me for my sake. God did not forgive you for your sake. God forgave for Christ's sake. It was Jesus Christ who died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, as we celebrated it last Sunday, and we celebrate it again this Sunday. To God be the glory. But God has forgiven you and forgiven me for His Son's sake. And so whatever the relationship is right now, I'll tell you, if you're not willing to forgive, the relationship that you're in, the marriage or any other relationship, is not going to be what it should be if you harbor unforgiveness. Harbor it means to keep it in. It's going to fester and fester and fester, and you know what it's going to become? It's going to become bitterness, and it is going to destroy your marriage. It's going to destroy your relationship. It's going to, your walk with God is going to be a mess. You won't lose your salvation. Praise the Lord. That's never gone. The relationship is the same, the vertical relationship, but it will affect your horizontal relationship. The fellowship will be affected, is what I meant to say. Sorry, the fellowship. If you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. Psalm 66:18. You might be praying for God to remove offensive traits from your marriage, and God's not hearing a word because you still haven't forgiven your husband for, or you haven't forgiven your wife for. Oh, let me tell you today, it's time we start forgiving silently and apologizing loudly. What does that mean? That means when we know we're wrong, go to your husband, go to your wife and say, can we step aside? Can we go over here and get it out in the open and apologize and be willing to forgive? You see, many times pride keeps us from forgiving. Why would someone not want to forgive? I'll tell you a couple of things. Number one, because pride says if you forgive them, then you're saying that what they did wasn't that bad. And that's not true. Because I've forgiven someone doesn't make what they did to me any less of a problem. It means I'm not going to let that thing that was done to me, I'm not going to let that offense that was done to me ruin the rest of my life. Yes, it was bad, and yes, it was wrong, and some of those violations are even just unbelievable, and some of those offenses done to one another and a husband and wife, I know only the grace of God could help us forgive our mate for those things. But stop letting the one offense or the two offenses or the five of them, whatever they are, ruin your marriage and ruin your life. Pride says, if you forgive her, if you forgive him, then you're saying it wasn't that bad. No, we know that whatever it was bad. Why do we know it was evil? Why do we know it was wrong? Because Jesus Christ had to die for it. He shed his pure, holy blood for it, and we can be forgiven of our sin by God. Let's forgive one another. Another thing is, we want to hold on to the offense. Why would you want to hold on to something? And we learned about Absalom some time ago, and I believe that's really what got Absalom was ruined by. He was holding on to the offense and holding on to the offense, and he wouldn't let go of it. And the offense of his sister Tamar, and then the offense of his dad and David, and it was just one thing after another, and he kept piling on, and he wouldn't deal with it. And it ruined his life. I believe he died prematurely because of it. Oh, don't let your marriage get to the point where you won't forgive and pride gets in the way. We're saying this afternoon, these are some things to consider, that our marriages, if there's trouble, that we can kick trouble out. The best thing we should want to do if there's trouble is say, okay, how do we fix this? Number one, we examine ourselves. We don't examine our spouse. All right, let me give you, I got a 10-point outline here, and it's all alliterated. If I could just talk to you, Pastor, I'll tell you, there are 10 things that my husband does, and they all start with a P. Yeah. No. Pastor Turner, I've got an outline right over here. I've been documenting everything that my wife has done over the last 30 days. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. No, examine yourself. Confess any known sin to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you remove the offensive trait. Forgive silently, apologize loudly. And one more, Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Choose wisely what you think about. Choose wisely what you think about. Now, this has been emphasized already today. If you were watching this morning's service, I hope you were, because in the Bible teaching hour, we talked about depression. And part of the problem with depression is what we think about. And it takes us down and down and down if we think about the wrong things. And so be careful and choose wisely what you think about. Philippians 4:8 tells us what to think about. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You have a choice to make in the marriage. You can dwell on strengths or you can dwell on weaknesses. What are you thinking about all the time? You can dwell on the past problems. We've been mentioning that. Or you can dwell on how God has been helping you and helping your spouse. Is what you're thinking about the positive or is it the negative? Is it lovely? Is it pure? Is it a good report? Is it virtuous? I really truly believe today that if we would take seriously this idea of no matter what it is in our life that is a problem, many, many times it can be traced back to our thought life. What are you thinking about? Choose wisely. You see, another thought about this, what am I thinking about? Comparison is a cancer in marriage. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Maybe you ought to jot that down. Comparison is a cancer in marriage. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. Let your conversation, let your lifestyle, let your way of living be without covetousness. Always wanting this and always wanting that. And we're not talking about Ferraris and Lamborghinis and a $20 million mansion. And be content with such things as you have. Now, I'd like to stop right there, and I'd like to say that as we think about comparison, we can look at this in two different ways. Number one, men and women both, husbands and wives, don't be looking around and wishing you had her as a wife. Don't be looking around, ma'am, and wishing you had that man over there as a husband. Oh, the grass you think is greener, always greener on the other side. It could be because the grass on the other side is right beside the septic tank. Have you ever thought about that? That's one way that we can think inappropriately and think wrongly. And there's nothing right about thinking like that. Don't be comparing your wife with another woman or your husband with another man. Stop doing that immediately. But another part of this, I believe, is the other side of the coin. And that is this. We sometimes can say, I wish I was this for my mate. I wish I was taller. I wish I was skinnier. I wish I was stronger. I wish I was this. No. That's not being content. That's the wrong way of thinking. Comparison. I wish I could be this. I wish I could speak. I wish I could do car mechanics. I wish I could be a carpenter. I wish I could work on computers. I can't do very much at all. Oh my goodness. I wish I. And you wish yourself, compared yourself to the nth degree. And you know what comparison is? It's a cancer. Be careful. Choose wisely what you think about. Mark Twain said, I can live for 1 month on one good compliment. Hey, it's time we start complimenting our wife, complimenting our husband. And mean it sincerely. And by the way, it shouldn't take long for us to compliment one another. Oh, I tell you what. It doesn't matter if you're the wife or the husband today. Whatever part you play in the home, either the husband or the wife, man or woman, thank you. Thank you, God. Husband, wife, man, woman, thank you, God. Adam, Eve, yes, thank you, God. Whichever one, be glad you're the wife. Be glad you're a man. Be glad you're a woman. Be comfortable within your own skin. Be thankful that God made you the way you did. Be thankful God made your wife the way he did. Be thankful God made your husband the way he did. Choose wisely what you're going to think about. A good marriage is not something you find. A good marriage is not simply the wedding day. Marriage is something you work for. Marriage is a gift and a task to be accomplished. Every day is a new day to honor your wife and honor your husband. Every day is a new day to forgive and move on. Every day is a new day to be thankful and content. Every day is a new day to love. Every day is a new day to be patient. Every day is a new day to listen. Marriage is work, but marriage is beautiful when we follow God's word. Marriage difficulties, they might come. They will come. But marriage difficulties do not need to be the death sentence. No, marriage difficulties are opportunities for us to grow in grace within our marriage. Marriage problems are an opportunity for us to extend forgiveness, to extend love, to extend mercy. Marriage problems are an opportunity for us to show our spouse and treat our spouse like God has treated us. Think about how many times God has forgiven us. Think about how many times God has been merciful to us. Let me tell you, lots. Marriage problems? Yes. But there is a solution. What did Isaiah say? If you're willing and you're obedient. I wonder this afternoon, are you willing, sir, to do all you can through Christ to help with the marriage that God's given you? Are you willing, ma'am, to do all that you can through Christ to stop comparing, be content? Marriage is like this sometimes, isn't it? Why? Because life's like that. Cycles, mountaintops, valleys. But at the end of that verse that said, be content, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You might be in a problem right now. You might be in a valley right now in your marriage. It's not the time to bolt. It's the time to get closer to God, closer to one another, and ask God to rekindle that marriage spark, that newlywed spark, that wedding day spark. It can be renewed. It can be revived. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would do a mighty work in our homes, in our marriages this week. Oh, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that we would not be hearers only, but we would be doers. Please, Lord, help us. If there's anyone listening, even now, Heavenly Father, that's not sure of their salvation, I pray that they would even contact me, email, call, and get that settled even today. Don't help them, Lord, not to wait. Help them not to be able to sleep even. In some, Lord, there might be some marriage problems that need immediate attention. And I pray that we would not put it off, that we would bring our mate aside and get our mate aside and praying for the right time, and that we would be willing to examine ourselves and confess our sin and ask God to help us in those traits and forgive. Forgive. And then stop thinking negatively, but be content. Please, Lord, help us. We need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you once again for being faithful to the Lord and faithful at Anchor Baptist Church, speaking mainly to you right now. Faithful to the meetings, please pray. We're looking forward to Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, as we meet together once again. We love you. Please stay in contact with us. Please let us know if you have a prayer request. Hey, please let us know if you have a praise. How about that? We're praying for you, and we want God's help. I want God's help within all the marriages of Anchor Baptist Church, that we would not run from trouble, but that we would kick trouble out and say, by God's grace, following His word, I'm going to kick trouble out of our marriage. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.